reading from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, February 5th, 2021. Joining me on the telephone line is Pastor Jason Schiffo from the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. And Pastor Jason, it's been fun. It's been an adventure. It's kind of exciting for me to every day come up with a verse that I feel God's put on my heart for various reasons. And today's verse, this Hebrews 4:16, I think will dovetail nicely into our James study, but it also sets me up for a story I want to briefly tell everyone. As four of our board members, me and three others, went to Springfield yesterday and had a glorious hour and a half time of testimonies, of sharing, as we drove there to meet with the station manager, John Swinford. And so as we began the trip, I was telling them some of the behind-the-scenes work that radio station managers have to do. And I was saying, you know, I'm in the middle of this audit from the Illinois Department of Employment Securities, and it's just taken tons of hours to give them all the materials and ledgers and everything that they need for this audit. I'm also working through IDES, an Illinois Department of Employment Security. I'm contesting their findings because they want us to pay unemployment payments for 2018 and 2019 that we shouldn't have to pay. And there's been some snafu with paperwork and different people handling it. And so I've spent many hours trying to resolve all that to show that we're not supposed to have to pay, because at the time we only had three employees and we're a tax-exempt nonprofit organization. Anyways, it should have been a very simple thing. It's taken hours upon hours to send all the people all this. So anyways, I'm sharing some of that with our board chair, John Jennings, with Peggy Meyer, who you know well, the treasurer of your church and very active with the radio ministry. And then a new addition to our radio board, Pastor Juan Laredo. So I'm just sharing some of those things. And Pastor Juan says, hey, let's just pray right now about that. So as we're driving along, he said, now, John, you're driving. Don't you close your eyes. So Pastor Juan saying, Lord, you know, work through the situation, help streamline it, help them come to a decision, help them discover these things that have been lost or misplaced. So he prayed that, and then we continued with more testimony time and sharing. Well, anyways, when I returned last night, I was reading my emails, and a very long, involved email from some supervisor from the IDES office says, oh, we recognize this, and because I sent him a very long, involved email after talking to another person yesterday before we left for Springfield, and said, I just don't understand. This should be a simple thing. Well, he got a supervisor involved that got his supervisor involved, and so they sent me this long, involved thing that, well, I think we can clear it up, but the person doing your audit needs to be informed of this thing and that. So anyways, it just seemed like God was already working and resolving some of the things during our trip. And so as Pastor Juan was praying and we were talking about seeking God's grace and his leading, I just thought of this Hebrews 4:16, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. And that's what we can do as followers of Jesus. We can go before this almighty sovereign God being confident, because he's a loving, caring, good God, and he wants to work in our lives, and so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And I think Pastor Juan quickly saw that, you know, I was in a time of need. I'm a little frustrated, and I have so many other things I need to do and attend to. And this has literally taken dozens of hours. I mean, one time I had to submit 46 pages of things and documentation, and you got to scan it and find it and research it and type it all up. And then another department asked for the same thing, and you're like, I already sent and showed we're a 501c3. That was submitted back in December. And anyways, it seemed like we had a big step forward last night. And we'll see. Hopefully, maybe these two different things will get resolved in the next few weeks. But, yeah, that audit, that has taken myself and our bookkeeper many hours to find all the documentation, you know, the ledgers, every check that you wrote. And I think I was telling you one time, on Christmas Eve, they called me and said, hey, who's this? I'll just say, who's this Brian Jones? And I'm like, Brian Jones? Yeah, you paid him a number of times in 2019. Who is this? And I'm like, Brian Jones, Brian? Oh, that's the mechanic that's worked on the radio vehicle. Yeah, we've had to have brakes done and this thing. I said, oh, you know, his name is a little different, but it's Brian Jones, and he's with such and such. And I said, sometimes we write the check out to just his name or the company. You know, he's a private auto mechanic. And so I said, maybe that wasn't included. But then on Christmas Eve, I had to research and find documentation from 2019 that showed he worked on the vehicle. And anyways, this thing has taken an enormous amount of time. And she was pretty satisfied. I called her a few weeks ago and said, where are we at with this audit? You know, it began back in November, and I submitted all this stuff in December. And she said, well, we'll call you when we have it resolved or figure out when we need more things. And I'm like, okay. So this other thing yesterday was more about figuring out why they still are requiring us to pay for fees that we shouldn't have to pay for 2018 and 2019. All to say, thank you, God, for Pastor Juan Laredo, who's now on our board, and quickly saying, let's just pray about it now. And then we had this glorious time of sharing God-citing stories and meeting with John and talking through where do we see this radio ministry 3, 5, 10, 15 years from now, and how can we best minister to our listeners and meet their needs and raise up the next generation of listeners and assist them, and a lot of, if you will, vision casting and thinking through and praying up, you know, how can we be more effective as a ministry? How can we reach more people? And lots of ideas being shared. And oh, I'm so excited, Jason, because we added 4 new board members. One was Pastor Laredo, and we had our first meeting last Wednesday with the 4 new board members. And then Ken Rowe, who's going to probably be my next testimony Tuesday this next week, he's an IT specialist and very gifted. I've known him for many years. He sang with the Singing Men of GNN when we were singing, but really gifted in a lot of different areas that I think will be a great asset to our radio board. And then Daryl Kennedy works with Edward Jones and has some financial background and knows about endowment funds and things to help us in the future with the radio ministry. And then Jim Miller, who was a former board member, we asked him to come back on and serve again. And so he's just very gifted. He works for the Army Corps of Engineers, and he's been involved in almost every aspect of the radio ministry. So he thoroughly understands our vision, our passion for reaching people, the lost, and equipping the saints. And then this Pastor Juan Laredo, who is a gift from God, a total encourager, gets the heart of the ministry. He's really already impacting all of us with his wisdom, his care, his compassion for people and for pastors. And, I don't know, I'm pretty excited. I just feel like God is positioning our board and this ministry to continue to do some unique things in the days ahead, but primarily to continue to lift up the name of Jesus, to hold to God's unchanging word, that we would proclaim it and teach it and have these gifted Bible teachers and find unique ways to get more people involved in the ministry and supporting it, catching the vision that we have a unique role to play, touching lives, touching people's children and grandchildren, and hopefully doing this for the next 20, 30, 40 years and helping people capture that vision so maybe we can receive some legacy gifts or special endowment funds so that we can maybe go without share-a-thons for some of the stations and continue to not have to focus on where's the money going to come from. God will just continue to provide that. And I don't know, I'm pretty excited. I just feel like God's tying up some loose ends, and hopefully we'll get through this audit and I can devote my time to a lot of other things. And we're just seeing him raise up different volunteers and helpers. And with these four additional new board members, I just feel like God's going to really take us to another level. In fact, later today, I'll be meeting with Ken Rowe, who's this IT specialist that'll help us think through security on our computers and all that IT stuff that gets kind of complicated. How do you protect data and information and prevent hacking and all the different things that these computer tech whizzes know? Well, he's an expert at that, and we're going to meet and talk through things. So, I don't know. I'm pretty pumped. I've seen God doing a number of things the last few weeks, and I've spent a lot of time in His Word, and I just love finding these verses throughout all the Scriptures and sharing them with people, and hopefully it's an encouragement, because God's Word will speak to all of us as we dig into it, as we think about it, as we share it. And so that just continues to happen of late, and I'm just very thankful. So anyways, that's a great verse. And today, oh yeah, that's right, it's Friday. We look at the book of James. So let me turn to the book of James. We're in chapter 2, and I'll begin reading from verse 8, which says, "If you really keep the royal law found in the Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Dun, dun, dun. Take us away, Pastor Jason Schiffo.
Well, I mean, we've been talking here about the rich and the poor and how we tend to show partiality towards rich, towards people in power, towards people with positions, prominence, and influence. And we tend to look down upon the poor. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But most of the time, we look to the poor and we look to how we can help them in that. But we don't oftentimes take the poor and the rich together and level that playing field and look at them equally. And so James says here, listen, if you want to fulfill the law, and he calls it the royal law. Now, why does he call it the royal law? Well, number one, because God is king, and we live within this kingdom. And so even though we may be in a nation, you know, with a Senate and a Congress and a president and lobbyists and all these different kinds of people, he says, listen, you're a part of a kingdom that exists within a nation. And in this kingdom, you obey the king, and that king is God, and his law is the royal law. Now, when he talks about the royal law, he's also talking about a command that Jesus gave special emphasis to, the command that we find in Matthew chapter 22, when he was pressed by the lawyer, and he said, "What is the greatest commandment, teacher? What is the greatest command?" Because he was saying, listen, of all the commands of the Torah, let's see what you think the greatest one is. And by doing that, they were hoping to trap Jesus by saying, listen, so Jesus thinks this one command is greater than all the other commands. And how could you pick of all the commands in the Torah? But Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He's quoting Deuteronomy 6:4. He's quoting the Shema, which would be said in synagogue three times a day. And Lord your God, the Lord is one. He says to love this God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he says, this is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus adds a beautiful caveat at the end in verse 40 and says, these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So he's saying, listen, all the law and the prophets is code for the Old Testament. So Jesus is saying, loving your neighbor as yourself is what all of the Old Testament depends upon. And Jesus is quoting in this moment Leviticus 19:18, as you do. And so Jesus is saying, listen, the greatest thing that you do is to love God with all your heart, soul, and might, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. And the reason you love God supremely is so that you can love your neighbor sacrificially. It is the royal law of the kingdom to love God, the king, supremely, and to love your brother sacrificially. Now, that lines up with what he's trying to talk about here, because he's saying, listen, you love the rich man. because you love his power, his prominence, you love his influence, you love what you can get by being near him. But do you love him the same as the poor man? Are you willing to sacrifice and to love them equally? And he says that when you do this, you fulfill the law. And that's one of the things that James is trying to say, is that he's identifying the fact that he's concerned his readers might selectively read the scriptures. That they might say, oh, yeah, love your neighbors yourself. I'm loving my rich neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing so, forsaking my poor neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking to one and not to the other, and not looking to all as a whole. And it makes me think about the poor. You know, there was a fascinating verse, you know, because Jesus is continually talking to us about the poor, continually telling us the widows and the orphans, we need to serve them. And Jesus addresses continually in the Gospels the poor among us because we have an obligation to the poor. Now, the kind of obligation that Jesus says we have to the poor, I don't think we always have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we always act upon. I actually think that we spend more time feeling bad for the poor, or we like having them around because they make us feel good. We can look and say, well, at least I don't live on that side of the town. Or we can look at them and say, well, at least I'm not like that guy.
Hmm.
At least I'm not poor like that. You know, God, thank goodness I'm in the middle class. And so we help the poor. We serve the poor. But are we willing to level the playing field where the poor is concerned? Are we willing to say that the rich and the poor are in the same category? Because when Jesus comes and Jesus offers his gift of grace to the world, he doesn't come with a precondition. He doesn't come and say, well, you know, I mean, if you're rich, maybe you get in the kingdom a little quicker. That's the human way of doing things, right? You know, you want to get in the kingdom a little quicker, maybe you got a little something you can give me. Oh, the poor, you don't have anything to offer. It might take you a little while longer to get in the kingdom. That's not what Jesus does. We operate oftentimes in precondition. Jesus doesn't. Jesus' grace comes with no precondition other than that you realize your absolute need for God. That's why he says earlier in this text in James that God has chosen the poor out of the world to be rich. Blessed are the ones who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. They realize their absolute and utter poverty, and they desire nothing more than the kingdom of God. God's grace comes with no preconditions, but so oftentimes our grace comes with a precondition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus said in Mark chapter 14 and verse 7, he said something fascinating, and this is the story of the widow's mite. And in it, Jesus says, you'll always have the poor amongst you. And when Jesus says that, what Jesus is telling his disciples in that moment is, you will struggle to address the poor. No matter how many times I've told you to engage the poor, to serve the poor, to sacrificially love the poor, and to treat them with honor, they'll still always be amongst you because you'll struggle with doing that.
Hmm.
And it reminded me of a funny kind of modern story or parable. There was a man who went to a local church, and he goes to the church and he knocks on the door, and the pastor answers, and he says, Pastor, there is a family that I know in the neighborhood, and they are starving, and they don't have any money, and because of COVID, the father's been out of work, and the mother's not been able to do this, and they were in quarantine, and oh my gosh, it's just horrible, and I heard the landlord is going to kick them out. And the pastor says, oh my gosh, we've got to help them. We've got some money. Let's go help them. And as they're walking along to go to the people's house, the pastor looks at the man and he says, how do you know the family? And the man says,
yeah.
Well, I'm the landlord.
Yeah.
You know, and the joke is biting, because his desire to help this family in need is not a pure desire.
Right.
It's driven by what he can also gain. And that's what James is warning the people in the Bible here that he's addressing in his community of faith. He's saying, listen, You need to realize that you have already gained the greatest thing that you could ever gain, and that is the kingdom of God. There's nothing more that you need to gain. And at the cross and in the kingdom, the playing field is level. There is no rich and there is no poor. There are only those who realize their absolute destitute and poverty spiritually and lay aside themselves so that they can be a part of this kingdom, so they can accept God's grace. There is no precondition for the kingdom of God,
mm-hmm.
other than declaring your desperate need of God. And it's fascinating to me here in this passage that James says to his listeners, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point is guilty of it all. And he's saying, listen, you could do all of it, But if you miss this one thing, you actually miss all of it. Because by James saying, love your neighbor as yourself, he's doing something very interesting, a very Jewish thing. He's pointing back and he's saying, he's not just saying, love your neighbor as yourself. He's saying, you know the whole verse, don't you? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so he's saying, listen, if you miss this one thing, you miss all of it because you miss loving God supremely in order for you to love your brother, rich, poor, whoever, sacrificially. And so James says, don't miss this. This is too important. And I would say to those who are listening right now, don't miss this. This is too important because we're called to love others. You know, I heard, I was watching an interview this week. It really impacted me, really affected me. And it kind of shocked me at first. I was watching this scholar and theologian. He was being interviewed by somebody. I don't know exactly who, I can't remember. But at one point they were talking about the resurrection. And this scholar and this theologian, he says, well, you know, I deny the resurrection. And the person interviewing this person was kind of taken aback. They were shocked. They said, wait a minute, you deny the resurrection? He says, I do. He says, every time I'm not kind where I should be, I deny the resurrection. Every time I don't give of myself where I should, I deny the resurrection. Every time I'm not loving in places that God calls me to love, I deny the power of the resurrection. He goes, my constant battle is to not deny the resurrection. He goes, academically, I don't deny the resurrection. Theologically, I don't deny the resurrection. He goes, but so often in my actions, I deny the resurrection. And it gave me pause to think, in what places do I deny the power and the work of Christ in my life upon the cross when I don't fulfill the things that he calls me to do? The ways that he calls me to give of my life so that his life can be magnified and can be offered into the lives of others and to change their lives. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of God. And we as members of the kingdom should be saying, you know what? Don't put a sign at the edge of the kingdom that says, you know, population this much, because we are in the business of growing this kingdom like crazy, sharing God's grace with all and seeing the kingdom just filled and filled and filled and filled.
Amen and amen. And as many times the practice, Jason, I have a pen in hand and a couple notes that I took as you were sharing. Love God supremely and your neighbor sacrificially. What a great word for us all. And then you also said this, and I wrote it down, how oftentimes we can have a pattern of selective reading. We want to read into it something that it's not saying, or we want to read it towards our comfort zone instead of reading what God is really convicting us, telling us that we need to do or give up or to sacrifice or to love that neighbor we don't like. And so may we all love God supremely this day, this weekend, and learn to love our neighbors sacrificially. Yeah, there's a cost, but this is God's calling on all of us. Oh, listening friend, be in God's Word today. Maybe reread through the book of James or find a portion of Scripture that God will speak to you in a very personal and unique way, because he desires that we know him, and we can know him through his Word, through friends, through attending church this Sunday. I hope you all can carve out the time and be in a good church that preaches God's Word, where the pastor has prayed up his devotional thoughts and what he's going to share, and be receptive. Get some sleep on Saturday night so that you're attentive on Sunday and can really digest and take in, and pray up before you go to church. Pray up the pastor, pray up what's going to happen, and get your heart and mind settled. If it means waking up a little earlier so the kids aren't going crazy and everyone's angry and yelling, then do that. Plan ahead on Friday, tonight, and Saturday so you're prepared to receive God's message to you. And thank you, God, for all the pastors that are probably working hard even now on fine-tuning that message, praying it through, thinking it out, asking God to work through their lips and their sharing. And we love our pastors. Thank you, Pastor Jason, for the time you give this radio ministry and how you serve at the Community Evangelical Free Church there in Mahomet. And thank you, God, for a new pastor that's on our board, Pastor Juan Laredo, who has a total heart for God, for people, and for his word. So Oh, God, we're very fortunate in this country to be able to talk about his word, to proclaim it over the airwaves, and to hopefully raise up that next generation of young people that are going to fall in love with Jesus so they can be disciple makers, to have others fall in love with Jesus so that they can have others fall in love with Jesus. Am I sounding like Bill Allison?
Yep, ad infinitum.
Yes. All right, listening friends, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.